close to home, close to you. 1460 WVOX and WVIP HD2, New Rochelle.
1460 WVOX.
This is the Stephen Lew Show, Lou Feliciano, Steve Mayo, Mondays, 5:30 p.m. here on WVOX 1460, a great locally owned radio station, news, information, entertainment, features, everything under the sun. We're talking to Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Okay, let me say this. Excuse me. The success of our economy is based on our ability to borrow and pay off debt. That's what, our biggest lender is China. Okay, and it's all based on faith in our system and our currency, and that's why it's important, and we print the money, okay, to pay the debt, okay?
Yes.
And the point I'm trying to get to, having debt, like you know, in business, yes. The ability to borrow is a good thing. That's how you expand.
Without a doubt.
And it's the same concept that we have in the capitalist system. That the ability to borrow and pay our debt is a good thing.
I know from recent history, service on the debt is, I believe, the largest part of our national budget, except for defense spending. I could be wrong, but I recall that figure.
Now, Chris and Steve, we're printing monopoly money. There's no substance to the money.
Yes, and Chris, I would say now, the principle you state is fine, but I would say the average voter today, I should say the average voter slash consumer of goods, largely made in China and other places abroad, and good for that, we want trade, but maybe too far. Chris, I don't think the average voter consumer is thinking about repaying the debt or even concerned about it.
So the numbers are not relevant, okay? What is relevant is the ability to borrow and to pay the debt. That's what's relevant.
Right.
It doesn't really, matter the extent that if we're able to borrow. And the reason we're able to borrow is faith in our system and our country.
That's let me ask you, what good is I think it's a good aspiration you're stating, but Chris, do you really think the average voter is prepared to pay back the debt or even consider it?
Well, they elect representatives to make those decisions for them.
Right.
Okay? And they and that's something that they should. Now, if they don't like the way the money is being spent or the debt that we're accumulating, which, as I said, debt to a certain extent is a good thing, if they don't like that, they change the people that they voted for.
Without a doubt.
That's just the way the system is. Free market. Democracy, that's the way it works.
But Chris, what we see today, Lou, please tell me if you agree or not. It seems like you have two poles on the question. One is seeming to represent unlimited borrowing, the other with willingness to cut programs and control the debt, but with some considerable costs to the economy and certain economic sectors of the economy. Where's the answer? Where's the negotiation? Where's the handshake?
There is no negotiation.
But Chris and Steve, here's the thing. We're creating this debt even more. You look at the immigration population and it's in this country right now. We're adding more to the debt.
Yeah. You're starting with the premise that the debt is a bad thing.
Yeah.
It is not a bad thing.
Well, Chris, if it's not tempered by some restraint on spending, wait a second, Chris, you'll respond, please do. But you have to have some restraint. And when the debt is being spent on non-citizens, let's state it very unjudgmentally, but people who are not citizens, and where is the payback? Are they paying? Are they paying employment taxes? Some of them are, some aren't. I'm not sure what the exchange is there.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Steve. We have an interest, okay, in dealing with the circumstance that is happening with immigration. Okay, the fact that we have borders like that. We're not able to protect all our borders, and we need immigration. It's a very complicated dynamic. It's not
well,
like
because I look at it a different way. I agree what you're saying, Chris, but I look at it a different way. The Democrats look at these illegals for votes. And that's what it boils down to. And they look at this for votes or whatever. I look at this country. When my grandchildren aren't going to have this debt over their head.
Immigrants can't vote.
I know they can't, but the people who vote for these people is wrong.
Become a citizen.
Okay, Chris. Well, we will agree to disagree there, but I thank you for raising the economic states.
Good conversation.
States of citizenship got to be continued both nationally and, of course, locally. Local debt, of course, very, very much in question now.
Very good.
When you think of the level of taxes. Lou, we know, what is it, about 75% of local taxes, education.
Yes.
And we all love education. Let's go to our next caller. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Joanne.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, guys. I'm sorry. There's such a mess with what's going on. You know, you don't know what to talk about first. But as far as the debt, though, see, I think it's totally wrong. I heard the Republicans speak on that, and I heard Chris on another line one day on one of the shows saying that if we do default in our debt, it's going to be they're going to be held responsible and liable. Wrong. That's wrong. Yeah. They are just trying to be more, to me, as far as I'm concerned, I agree with what you said, Steve, that there is a point at which it doesn't it devalue. Am I not correct when I say that the more they print, the more it devalues what we do
That's
have?
That's inflation. That's the nature of inflation.
Right, exactly. So therefore, what are you talking about there? So the more we spend, it's never been anything near this $31 trillion. And we have to. So the thing is, so the Republicans were saying the other day, if everybody listens to what they do say, you know, not just the Democrats, what they throw out there, the fact that we have to cut, they have to trim, and they don't want to sign on it until and unless they decide that they can cut this out and the Kennedy Center and all this nonsense. And that went on a while ago. I'm just using that as
of course.
An example.
There have to be choices. Let's face it, Joanne. We're talking about choices, both sides.
You got to tighten the belt a little, Joanne, here. That's the problem in this country.
Yeah, more than a little. And, and look, it's the fact that the banks aren't giving much in interest, I mean, hardly anything anyway, and in certain cases, no, and money I even put in to invest in, it depended on the market. Well, the market hasn't been up a substantial amount to get anything, you know, at my 9%.
Trump was right with this, and I got to give him his due Let me just say something, Joanne. Trump was right. Here's what he was right about. We were paying for all these countries to be their police department. We paid for missiles. We paid for, you know, every time they fired a missile was $1 million. We paid for all these things. He got these people, these countries, to give us money to help pay for these things or whatever.
Right.
Our debt keeps rolling, and pays for this is the taxpayer, which is a burden already on people, taxes.
Oh, good job.
You cannot keep putting burdens on people or whatever. And I say this all the time. You know, the greatest growth population in this country's history is the baby boomers. All us baby boomers now are senior citizens. We're all senior citizens. So anybody who was born after 1945, 1950, those were baby boomers. I think it was 63. Am I right, Steve?
About right.
63 or 64.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Those are the baby boomer years. And, we're all senior citizens.
And golden years? Come on, are you kidding? We meet them and we're crippled and we're this and we're that.
Of course. And choice, let's face it, Joanne, I think to put it in a nutshell, without being overly partisan, let's face it, choices have to be made. What to cut, what to support, maybe even though your instinct says it's not worth it. Well, maybe to a major part of the population in our national system, it is worth it. I think there has to be an exchange. Who would disagree with it, at least in theory?
All right, Joanne.
Can I just say one more thing?
Go ahead, because I've got three calls. I want to get on.
Real quick. Okay, on the other show, another show that I was listening to, it was the mayor up in, not mayor, he's
right.
a supervisor.
Let's just get to it, please. I'm sorry.
He said, he had a guest speaker on, and she was saying that, guess what? Everyone that comes to this country, whether it, not even with the illegals, even however and whomever, they pay for, they put them up, and all the Ukrainians that are here now and coming, you know, that I could see, we have to help, and we will, and I'm the first one to give the shirt off my back, and I totally would, and I totally do. to make Jim Kalore, and I try to do whatever I could do. But you know what? You can only do so much.
Thank you.
I wish I could do more. But the thing is, but why does our country assume all this?
That's the political system. That's why you've heard me say many times, we are a representative system. We're a national system of 50 states. I think the more we rely on local government to the greatest extent possible, except defense and borders, the better we can control it. The elections are closer. The panels, the seats of government, the city council meetings are nearby. Who goes to Washington to vote?
Well, you can't run a country with open borders economically and defensively.
Joanne, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Joanne.
We'll be back to you, our dear audience, here at WVOX 1460 AM.
Mitchell, hold on, and then Anthony's after Mitchell, so we'll get you everybody on.
Stay tuned. Got a raft of callers. Welcome you all. Let's get to Mitch. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Good to hear from you. I want to hear your take on these things.
First of all, yes, as a realtor, I am for unlimited debt.
Go ahead. That's kind of earth shaking and maybe refreshing, depending on your point of view. So explain.
I think if someone could buy a million-dollar house and only put $50,000 down, then the federal government could do it, too. That's number one. Number two, if you want to balance the budget, stop bailing out the failed southern states that the federal government keeps pouring money and money into.
But Mitchell, one second, Louis, let me ask you a question. But what you just said about $50,000 in a million-dollar house, I know you're making facetious here, you're making a joke out of it, but let's look at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Right.
They were giving people 400, people putting in for $400,000, $500,000 houses, and people making $40,000, $50,000 a year. Everybody defaulted. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac went belly up.
Well, Mitch is not defending that, I don't think.
No, I'm not defending that.
Unqualified, of course.
But people can get... Buy a house now with a 10% with 10% down.
Yes, but there's got to be higher standards than what obtained in 2008, 2009, 2010, which
I
we know.
I would hope.
Yeah,
I would hope.
One hopes we learn from that. It sounds like a 2 or 3 point prescription. Anything else?
No, and as far as again, if you want to balance the budget, stop bailing out the failed southern states.
All right. I'd like to hear some examples, but go get your hit and run right here. Point made. It's good hearing from you, but I definitely want to hear more from you about the evolving political situation here in town. We've got a Democrat candidate. There's probably going to be more. No Republican candidate. We got to make this a contest. Wouldn't you agree, hold on. Mitch?
We have a contest between two Democratic candidates.
Is there? Do you think Republicans can contribute to this process at all?
Yes.
We need a candidate, though.
I don't know how, but yes.
Fair point. That's above your pay grade, Chris. Mitch, you're not Chris. Thanks for the call, Mitch.
Thank you, Mitchell. Thank you.
Please call him. Keep going.
All right.
Always a pleasure. Let's go on to our next caller.
Anthony.
Hey, how are you? Listen.
Good. How you doing?
There's a problem with the problem you can buy the million-dollar house with $50,000 down is because you have good credit. Okay?
For sure.
When the government pays off the debt by printing more money, it devalues the currency.
Without a doubt.
And the inflation goes way up.
Of course.
And that's the issue, okay? So if you want unlimited debt, you got to be ready for unlimited inflation. You got to be ready for prices to go higher. And as usual, who's going to get squeezed? The middle class. There is one left.
And the value of the dollar plummets, and we know for foreign investors, there's less capital thereby attracted. So
you said it better than me, Anthony. I was trying to bring across monopoly money, but you put the point better than I did. You know, you're printing money with no substance to it. So,
well, you're not only printing it, you're devaluing it as you print it.
Without a doubt.
As you print it, it's going down.
No, there's got to be a limit. And there's got to be a growth in productivity, which our political leaders seem to be ignoring.
Right. And like everything else, if you don't have the credit limit, when is our credit limit going to run out?
Yeah. That's the battle in Washington. I do really wish that debate were reported a little more honestly, but you hear too much partisan back and forth. I think it's a shame. So I don't think
if they don't find a way to come close to balancing the budget, we're doomed. But and don't get me wrong, I'm on the backside of the golf course.
Okay, please.
So it's my grandkid. It's my grandkids. I'm worried.
Me
about.
Too. I'm on the back nine, Anthony.
Don't write yourself out. But
I think I'm on the back three. But that's
no, God forbid. But your concerns are valid.
I'm on the back nine.
I think we're all concerned about it, and it's valid. Me, it's been education lately, but I think economically. True point. Thanks for the call, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for the call. Thank you so much.
Much appreciated. Let's go to our next call.
Vince. Vince, you there?
Weigh in.
Yeah, I am, guys. How you doing? Just a quick comment or two.
Never a quick comment with you. Come on.
what you heard Mitchell describe as, that's the new Democratic view. That's the Janet Yellen view, that debt is not important. There is no limit to debt. That most normal people realize that that's a ridiculous argument. Of course, buy a $50,000 house. It's worth $1 million. If you default on your loan, the bank can sell the house to someone.
No doubt.
If we default on them, what are we going to do? Mortgage off New York State to somebody? So, it's a ridiculous argument.
Vince, let me answer you this, because, you know, I don't think we disagree on the merits, and I don't think Lou does either. How do we sell the concept you're talking about, fiscal restraint, et cetera, to our friends, our Democrats in town and in the state? How do we make this appealing?
No, the Democratic Party is not interested in your argument. The only people who are interested in your argument are the regular rank-and-file voters of the Democratic Party who are not part of this intelligentsia and elitist view that no debt is a good national policy. These are normal people. We have to reach out to the normal working person who, unfortunately, has been hoodwinked into voting for Democrats, thinking it's in their interest. We have to explain to them the fallacy of this argument.
Vince, there's no substance with the money they're printing. It's just monopoly money. There's no more Federal Reserve. There's no more nothing here. And the same thing with, you know, just as well as I do. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac went belly up because of this.
No one here in value. Vince, point made. Thank you for calling. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Lou and Steve Weekly, 5:30 on Monday.
Next week.
Please call next week, 914-636-0110. Have a great, safe week.
Nikki, great job.
You're listening to 1460 WVOX. Currently, we have 49 degrees under partly cloudy skies. This is WVOX and WVOX.com. 1460 WVOX.